Let me start with a question. How many have ever heard a message on angels? A couple, okay. I don't think I ever have. I know we've had angels mentioned. They're mentioned hundreds of times in the Bible. So a while back I was considering that, and the Lord directed me to have a message because I think there's much we can learn from these created beings. I know they're not to be worshipped. We'll see that later. But they are to be feared at times and given the respect because God uses them for much. For messages, for direction, for comfort, protection. So in the next few minutes, hope this is an interesting message, but also lead us to consider how God uses all creation, even his heavenly host, to accomplish his will. Angel basically means messenger. Most of us know that. They're also called ministering spirits, God's attendants, hosts, and other names that are mentioned in the Bible. Angels, as I already said, are created beings. We don't become angels when we go to heaven. We're not given wings. We're called saints. We could ask, when were the angels created? Genesis 1 says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. This is day one of creation. It's been said that the word heaven is plural, meaning God created the whole with its innumerable separate parts, including angels. Another has said that angels were created before the creation of the world. This no doubt was based on Job, the oldest book in the Bible, 38, verse 4 and 7, says this, "Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth, when the morning stars sang together?" That's a name for the angels, morning stars. Whether before the creation, on day one of the creation, we know that angels were created by the sixth day of creation. At the end of the sixth day, we read in Genesis 2:1, "Thus the heavens and the earth and all the host," another name for angels, "of them were finished." In the Bible, angels are already spoken of in the masculine gender. Sorry, there are no girl angels. Angels do not marry. In Matthew 22, verses 23 and 28, the Lord Jesus was asked about a woman who had been married seven times and who would be considered her husband when the resurrection happens. Jesus answers them in Matthew 22:30 this way, "For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like the angels of God in heaven." Angels are not to be worshipped. We need to make that clear. In Revelation 19:10, and two places in Revelation 22, we read the Apostle John fell down to worship an angel. And the angel said this to him, "See that you do not do that, for I am your fellow servant." Then the angel told John, "Worship God." So they're not to be worshipped. As I mentioned earlier, we can learn much from the study of angels, but we need to keep them as God intended. Due to their power and their holiness, they are to be respected and feared. And we read that many times they brought fear to those they visited. Here are a few encounters where angels and the fear that was demonstrated. Zechariah, when serving as a priest in the temple, Luke 1:11 says, "And fear fell upon him." The shepherds on the night Christ was born, Luke 2:7 says, or 2:9 says, "And they were greatly or sorely afraid." We could think of the guards at the tomb of the Lord as they saw an angel on the rolled back stone. Matthew 28:4 says this, "And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men." In other words, they fainted. These men weren't wimps, were they? The first use of the word angel We find in Genesis 19, 1, it says, "Now the two angels came to Sodom in the evening." This is speaking of the two angels that went to Sodom to rescue Lot before the city's destruction. We find the final use of the word in Revelation 22, 16, where we read the words of the Lord speaking to John the apostle. And he says, "I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches." The word angel or angels in different forms of the word, host is another, appear approximately 300 times and in one half of the books of the Bible. We could ask, how many angels are there? Well, at our Savior's birth in Luke 2:13, it says there were a multitude. And in Hebrews 12:22, it says they are innumerable, unnumbered. Myriads is another term, speaking of a very great number. Christ said at his arrest that he could pray and his Father would send 12 legions of angels. We're familiar with that verse, aren't we? That's in Matthew 26:53. A legion is a term describing a Roman military unit. It's been said that's 6,000. 12 legions will be 72,000. Our Lord truly could have been spared his arrest and what would follow. But in Matthew 26:54, he continues, "How then could the scriptures be fulfilled that it must happen thus?" God's eternal plan of redemption, we focused on redeeming the redemption of our souls through the Lord this morning. But God's eternal plan of redemption was unfolding as he had intended. There are different types of angels mentioned in the Bible. Seraphim, or that's plural, singular is seraph, in Isaiah 6, verses 2 through 6, described as six-winged angelic creatures that continually fly in the presence of God, declaring his holiness. We have another, cherubim or cherub, mentioned in Genesis 3:24, where they stand guard to the way of the tree of life. What about our relationship or standing with angels? Hebrews 2:7 says, "Man is made a little lower than the angels." What about Christ's relationship or standing concerning angels? Hebrews 1:4 says, "Having become much better," speaking of Christ, "than the angels." And Hebrews 1:6 says, "Let all the angels of God worship him." Again, they're created beings by God the Father, by the Lord. However, this relationship with the Lord would be altered for a time as Christ would take on the form of a man with the purpose of taking upon himself the sin of mankind. Hebrews 2:9 talks about that. But we see Jesus, who was a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for every man or everyone. The one who was and is and will forever be equal with God took on the form of a man. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. We read that in Philippians 2, verses 5 through 8. The Lord Jesus Christ is called the angel of the Lord. You may have read that from time to time. And said this is a reference to his pre-incarnate appearances or announcements known as Christophanies. I've listed a few here. In Genesis 16:8, he appeared to Hagar, Sarah's maid. Genesis 18, he appeared to Abraham, along with the two angels I mentioned before. In Genesis 22:11, he appeared to Abraham as he was about to sacrifice his son, Isaac. Exodus 3:14, he called to Moses from the middle of the burning bush. And again, this is not an angel, but the angel. And I've mentioned this before, the word angel is capitalized in New King James, which speaks of deity. Turn to Daniel 3 for a minute. Daniel 3:22. Daniel 3, starting at verse 22. And just a little bit before we read that, the events that preceded these verses we'll read. We read that Daniel's friends, Meshach, Abednego, Shadrach, disobeyed the king's order to fall down and worship the gold image. And in verse 16, they say, "The God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace." They had faith, didn't they? But they said, "If not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up." Of course, that made the king very angry, more than angry. So verse 22, Daniel 3:22. "Therefore, because the king's command was urgent and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning or the fiery furnace." Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, "Did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire?" They answered and said to the king, "True, O king." "Look," he answered, "I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." And then verse 28, Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel." Again, that word angel is capitalized. Going back to God's ministering spirits, his created heavenly beings, they were sent to help our Lord in his time of need while he was on earth, weren't they? In Matthew 4:11, angels ministered to him after his temptation in the wilderness. In Luke 22:43, an angel strengthened the Lord as he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. Only three angels are identified by name in Scripture that I'm aware of: Gabriel, Michael, and Satan. Gabriel has been called the messenger. He gave a message from God to Zechariah in Luke 1:11, to Mary, the mother of Jesus, in Luke 1:26, to Joseph, the Lord's earthly father, in Matthew 1:20, again in Matthew 2:13 and 2:19. Then we have Michael. He's been called the archangel, identified as the commander of angels. Michael is the warrior angel. Turn to Revelation 12. Revelation 12, down to verse 7. Revelation 12, verse 7. Just 7 through 9. "And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole earth. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." Satan's been called the anointed cherub. We find that in Ezekiel 28:14. We know that Satan's problem was pride. Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Isaiah the prophet tells of Satan's pride and his fall. Turn to Isaiah 14. Down to verse 12. Isaiah 14, verse 12 through 15. Isaiah 14, 12 speaks of the fall of Lucifer, or Satan. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation. On the farther sides of the north, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. One has said that Satan had a disease. It was called eye-itis. We don't want never to catch that disease. Satan, the created one, wanted to be like his creator, like God. Ezekiel 28:15, speaking of the anointed cherub, Satan, says this, you were perfect in your ways from the day you were created till iniquity was found in you. Yes, Satan, or the devil, is a created being. He never was and never will be equal to God. Satan is not omnipresent. In other words, everywhere at the same time. He's not all-powerful, omnipotent. He's not omniscient, all-knowing. Satan is an angel and powerful, but limited to what God allows. Turn to Job chapter 1. Go down to verse 6. Job 1, verse 6. Job 1, starting at verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. And the Lord said to Satan, from where do you come? So Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro on the earth, and from walking back and forth on it. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil? So Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, and around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not lay a hand on his person. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. Again, limited power. God is the final authority over Satan. Revelation 12, verses 4, 7, and 9 speaks of Satan and one-third of his fallen angels being cast down to earth. These angels who followed Satan have been called demons. We know based on Revelation 20 that one day Satan and his angels will be cast into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second, the final death, a place of eternal punishment and separation from God. Christ spoke of this in Matthew 25:41. when addressing the lost, he said, "Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." We have many unnamed angels that appear or are spoken of in Scripture. The two men that appeared with the Lord, with Abraham in Genesis 18, are called two angels in Genesis 19, but no name is given. They're the ones that came to Sodom to rescue Lot and his family. After our Lord's resurrection, we read of angels at the tomb. Turn to Matthew 28. Matthew 28, verses 1 through 8. Speaking of the resurrection of the Lord. "Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning and his clothes as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men." Read that earlier. "But the angel answered and said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will find him. Behold, I have told you.' So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word." And turn over to Mark 16. Mark 16, verses 5 and 6. A different account of the same situation. "And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe, sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed." And this young man, we presume, is an angel. "But he said to them, 'Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him, but go, tell his disciples and Peter.'" We also have an account in Luke 24 and John 20 concerning angels and the empty tomb. But here these accounts in Luke and John speak of two angels. Of course, we have different accounts, but in all these we read that angels, whether it's listed one or two, were involved. Angels are mentioned over 70 times in the book of Revelation. Just a few examples. In Revelation 1:20, the Lord explains the seven lampstands or candlesticks and the seven stars mentioned earlier. The seven stars equal the seven angels of the seven churches. One wrote this: "The seven angels may be literal angels, each having a guardianship or guardian ministry toward one specific church, or perhaps speaking of human leaders at each church, which will be our elders and pastors." Each letter to the various churches starts by saying, "To the angel of the church of Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, etc." We read that angels will take part in the tribulation period when God's wrath is poured out on sinful man. After the Lord, the Lamb, opens a sealed book, the seven seals, bringing about God's judgment, the seven angels sound seven trumpets, bringing about continued destruction and death. And we read about the seven trumpets being sounded in Revelation 8, 9, and again, 11, chapter 11, verse 15. The final tribulation period will be when Seven angels pour out their vials or bowls, causing more death and destruction, pain and sorrow upon the earth and those on it. We read that in Revelation 16, the first 17 verses. As we've seen, God uses his angels for many purposes. Perhaps the highest purpose of angels is to praise and worship God. Psalm 148:2 says, "Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts." Again, a word for angels. And then at Luke 2:13 and 14, at our Savior's birth, a multitude of heavenly hosts praised God and said, "Glory to God in the highest." Turn to Revelation 5. We've considered this earlier today, but nothing wrong with repeating. Revelation 5, verse 11. Revelation 5, verse 11 and 12. "Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory.'" Blessing. We'll say amen to that. We can learn much from the study of angels, created beings that always do God's will. Well, that's speaking of the two-thirds that didn't follow Satan. There are created angelic beings that share God's messages, interact with man, give comfort, protection, bring about destruction, praise and worship God and his Son. It's clear in the scriptures that angels are interested in the things concerning us, concerning man. In Matthew 15, when the Lord shared the parables of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son, he says in Matthew 15:10, "Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repents." Sinful man has it much better than the angels, especially the ones that followed Satan and fell. For along with Satan, their fate, their eternal fate is sealed. On the other hand, sinful man, although born in sin, can turn to God, confess their sin, agree with what the Bible called us repentance, and place their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. As there says to describe this in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten, would have everlasting life." Accepts God's way of salvation, they will have the same fate as Satan. And Revelation 20, verse 15, a very somber verse says, "And anyone not found written in the book of life," the only way our name can be written in the book of life is to be born again from above. And I hope all who hear this message today or on tape later have accepted Jesus Christ as their own Savior and will escape the second death. As born-again believers, we have it much better than the angels. We can call God our Father and Jesus our Savior, a relationship the angels will never know. We can bring our prayers before God's throne of grace, where God's Spirit and the Lord Jesus Christ intercede for us. We have a place prepared for us in heaven. We will rule and reign with our Savior one day. What blessings we have that the angels can only view but will never experience. Angels have appeared in the past to many. We've read just a few. But what about these times? Are angels still among us? When speaking of angels, Hebrews 1:14 says this, "Are they not ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those who will inherit salvation?" I believe those speaking of all born-again saints of God. Perhaps angels have and already been among us as our individual guardians. I'm sure we've each heard stories over the years of people. Things have happened to spare them, protect them, different guidance that couldn't be explained. Or, as we considered in Revelation, the seven angels of the seven churches, perhaps one has been sent here to minister to the needs here at Grace Gospel Chapel. So in considering angels, I close with this. Hebrews 13:2 says this, "Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some have unwittingly or unknowingly entertained angels." We'll never know the side of heaven, but much to consider. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your precious truth. And Lord, as we think of these created beings who you use to accomplish so many things, to be your messengers, to be your protectors, to protect those, to provide, to guide, to encourage. And Lord, we are thankful that we don't have the same fate of the third of the angels that followed Satan. They will never be redeemed. Their eternal fate has been established as they will be cast into the lake of fire. Lord, that place was never intended for man. And you've given us an opportunity to escape that eternal separation from you, from heaven. Again, I would pray if any that hear this message today or later date and not consider their eternal future, may they agree with you, acknowledge their sin before a holy and righteous God, put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He said, "No man comes to the Father but by or through me." May they see their need and confess Jesus Christ as Lord. And Lord, you promise that you will save them. They'll be part of your eternal family and have all those benefits that angels only view and will never enjoy. So help us consider every truth in your word. Continue to guide us. Thank you again for this day you've given us. As we dismiss, we'll pray for travel safety. Again, we pray for those who are traveling away from us right now. For our sister Beulah, she'll leave Tuesday to go visit her mom. Pray for her mom, Lord. Remember, years ago, we had the privilege of meeting her. Pray you'll raise her up, Lord, in accordance with your will. And others, Charles, and Lord, you know each need. And again, help us to consider all that you give us through your word to guide us. Continue to use us, we pray. Encourage us. And again, we're thankful for another day of life, and for the new life we have in and through our Savior. We pray this in his precious name. Amen.